The art of the argument. Arguing with your partner might not be at the top of your to-do list, but according to my next guest, the things we argue about with our partner need attention, and that's why we're arguing about them. Author and relationship advice counsellor Joanna Harrison has recently published 5 Arguments All Couples Need to Have and Why the Washing Up Matters. Well, Joanna joins us from London. Good morning,
Hello.
Good morning, Joanna.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good evening.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It certainly started a lot of conversations, I should imagine, around the world.
Yes, and in my own home.
Is it? It seems obvious when it's stated as clearly as that, that we argue because there's a problem, not because we enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what I wanted to convey was that in being in a relationship, you know, we all have to struggle a bit as we get to know each other. We are going to have arguments with each other. And I wanted, you know, I have this unique perspective as a couple therapist that I see what different couples are arguing about. And I wanted to give people a feel about how this is kind of part of being in a relationship. Look, I do need to say, and I always say, this is not about the dangerous kind of arguments. And there are some kind of arguments that I'm not like encouraging, but you know, the day-to-day work of being in a relationship is hard, and so we're going to argue. But these arguments are full of, like, the most important information.
Would you call them petty arguments then? Would that be a definition?
Well, I think often they look like petty arguments, but I think underneath them, they look like petty arguments about the washing up or the dishwasher or the shoe on the floor. And that's often why they get dismissed. Like, why are you feeling so upset about this small thing? You know, don't be so unreasonable kind of thing. But actually, the under those things are the really important stuff. And I think, you know, so when I see a couple for the first time, I take a full kind of description of their relationship, their history, and try and get a feel of things. But actually, I think if they could just show me what happens in their kitchen, I could get, or tell me about what happens at home, if I could watch them at the sink, I could know all of that information in a way, because it's in those little things that our feelings come out, I think, where we feel not listened to, where we feel not cared about, where we feel that we're doing too much work in the relationship. So my 5 arguments are, you know, I think that there are issues in communication, issues with each other's family, issues about who does what and feelings of frustration, issues about being apart, like one person being on their phone, and issues about sex. But actually, all feelings about all of those issues can come up in the little stuff, which is why I say the washing up matters.
Right. Okay. We'll go to each of those a little later on. But before you became a couples therapist, you were actually a divorce lawyer. So obviously that's more about breaking up than making up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm obviously drawn to work with relationships, and I worked as a divorce lawyer. And then what I found was difficult was the sort of only hearing one side of the story. And I wanted to work, you know, I was really interested in how relationships end, what do both people bring to it, and looking at a dynamic. And so I feel working as a couple therapist, it's really important to see both sides of it. And that's not about judging which person is right. I think sometimes people think that they're going to come to therapy, and I think that actually puts them off coming to therapy, is like, oh, I'm going to be, the couple therapist is going to side and say that my partner's right. But it's actually about building up a picture and getting people to sort of be curious about what they both bring to the dynamic in the relationship.
Well, you'd like to be a fly on the wall, my words, at the kitchen sink, and that dynamic that happens there. Can you give us some examples of that? What do you mean? Do you mean that somebody's looking at somebody, their partner, and going, oh, I don't like the way you're doing the washing up, or wish you wouldn't do it that way, or are those sort of things?
Yeah, so like, okay, let's say the one that often people bring up is like the restacking of the dishwasher.
Right.
You're laughing. Okay.
I'm laughing. Yeah.
Yeah. So someone comes and restacks it, and it really annoys the other person, and you think, okay, well, what is it that's really annoying? And if you were to go into that and feel, okay, what is really annoying? Is it that someone feels less valued in the relationship, or not taken seriously, or feels that someone always thinks that that their partner thinks that they do it better, you know, my way or your way. My way is always better. And there is a fundamental tension in a relationship, my way or your way. But, you know, it's got to be a bit of both. And I think that restacking to, like, can show how much of a problem that is. So it might be a funny thing. Oh, you always restack my dishwasher. Ha ha. It might be like a really serious thing. It might be felt that this person is so sort of always trying to get their way. So I don't want to bring, I don't want to wind everyone up and now they're going to be doing that dishwasher and thinking, oh no. But, and you can't analyze everything. I say that in the book, you can't analyze everything all of the time, but you can be curious. And I think that's one of the most important messages I want to bring out in the book, which is that little tensions, little things that come up, like about that sort of thing, can a couple take a moment, not in the heat of the moment, to say, what is it that really annoys you about that? Because actually people don't make time for that. What is it that really annoys you about when I do that? And even if they can't stop doing that, they have a better information. Or yeah, so that would be one.
Perhaps what's the buzzword these days? A bit of mindfulness about what's actually going on.
Yeah, I think it's real curiosity that we can forget to be curious in relationships. We think, and the longer the relationship, the more people think they know their partner, and that is what is sort of mind blowing. I think in therapy often, because the whole space is designed to sort of facilitate curiosity, and things come out not weird secrets or dark secrets, but actually, gosh, I didn't really realise that that's what you felt about this thing that I do every single day, sort of thing.
Right. Well, what about the practical issues of the when it comes to the dishwasher, though? You might not restack it when they're watching, but you might just think, well, perhaps they're not going to get clean that way.
Well, yeah, and then you know, and you live, and then you know, you see how that goes. There's the
just let it go. You know,
yeah, and that, you know, that you want to be able to let it go, because I say you don't want to be able to go, you don't want to have to go on and on about it. But I think people are more able to let these things go when they know what it means. So let's take the plate that gets left by the sink. You know, that's that, and someone feels like, oh, I'm always the one who has to finish off the plate, sort of thing. And that feeds into a feeling that they're always doing all the work. And I think we quite often, my chapter 3 is about workload and arguments that one person feels they're doing too much, or perhaps both people feel they're doing more than the other. And those feelings are very toxic. And as a divorce lawyer, and I work with divorcing couples, and I work with couples, the resentments about workload really are corrosive, I would say. So again, the sort of plate by the sink that one person isn't doing, that can represent, the feelings around that can represent really deep feelings in the relationship that need to get a hold of. Like if one person is feeling that they're unappreciated and overworked, that needs tending to, which is a whole big topic.
You're right. So Joanna, do we want to be, when we argue, nobody, well, let's start with the fact that, well, I think it's a fact that not many people want to argue, do they? It's not something that's a pleasant thing to do.
No, absolutely not. And one thing that's really important to know is that people have grown up in different cultures around arguing. So people also have different appetites for it. So what if someone who grew up in a family that was more argumentative, it might feel a bit more normal to them, and they're with a partner who perhaps isn't from a background like that, who might really, really hate or not be so used to conflict. And there's probably a reason why they've sort of got together in that respect. But so we have to acknowledge that people are going to have different approaches to arguing. And I think, yeah, I think people want to, they don't like conflict. But what I see, and I'm not saying go and have an argument for the sake of it. What I see is that when people push down their feelings about things, or kind of bury their head in the sand about difficulties because they're worried about having the conflict with their partner, what happens is that they end up on parallel tracks. You know, that they don't sort of engage with each other about the things that they're feeling. And, you know, sometimes over the years that does become problematic. And you know, passionate feelings, you know, like for example, this issue about a workload. If someone is trying to say, I'm really unhappy here, and the other person is like, I'm not interested. Get over it. There's nothing we can do about the situation. It's a bit simplified, but slowly, slowly, those feelings get corrosive, and they're like, I'm not going to bother to bring this up. And so, I think we have to make a bit of space for allowing difference, you know. And and I think that's part of what I wanted to do was like, look, this is not this is part of being in a relationship. We're going to have conflict over things, and that's okay. It's not just that one of you is difficult. It's that actually this is part of coming to find a way of being together and having a life together. And the really important thing to do about arguments, because they are unpleasant and people aren't particularly rational when they're happening, is the bit that happens after. It's the bit that says, okay, what was all that about? What is really important to you here? Was it really about the plate, or is it about something else? And can we just take a moment? Because I feel like there are strong feelings here and I don't really understand them. And then, so that is where the argument is useful, I think.
Right, at the mopping up stage, but
Yeah.
why do arguments escalate? Is it because we want to be right, or we just want to be heard, or why do they
I
increase
think
and?
both of those things. So I think when we feel that we meet a brick wall, we escalate, we try and, you know, get heard, try and get heard again. And so if this is a really important communication technique, and I think that it gets lost somewhere, which is, so you start someone they start having a conversation, and this is, by the way, a dynamic that I see comes into my room a lot. Someone's got a problem or someone's got a difficult feeling, and they bring it up, and the other person doesn't agree with it or can't bear to hear it and says, no, you don't, that's not right. And it's not like that. Even with the best will in the world, no, you don't need to feel like that. It's not like that. And the other person's like, no, I really do feel this. And so then the volume goes up a little bit to try and get the other person to hear. And then the other person is sort of going up a bit and saying, no, it's not right. And what the way to unlock this generally is to say, look, you don't have to agree with your partner to acknowledge what they're saying. And that is a game changer, that like acknowledgement, this little word, which is so powerful, and I think everyone should learn this at school, that it just can take the heat out of things. So actually, I think, you know, arguments come from conversations that are getting louder and louder. The volume has to go up, and the circuit breaker is the sort of, okay, I hear what you're saying. Of course, where there is no circuit breaker and it escalates too much, then couples need to think about a kind of safety mechanism, like, do we need to put physical space between us till we calm down? But I think that is how things escalate.
Okay, so you're not really listening to the other person, or you're not acknowledging the other person's feelings, or what they're saying.
Yeah, you're not, you can't, you know, you're disagreeing, or you're putting your point of view, and you know, it's about both of them making each other defensive. So the more and more defensive a couple get with each other, because they don't like what the other person is saying, and then the more it sort of heightens. And look, I think, you know, our defenses are there for a reason, and our partners see more of us than anyone else. And it's really uncomfortable sometimes to have things pointed out. Like, it might not feel very nice to be told, why aren't you putting the plate away, you're lazy, kind of thing, you know. And that is not a nice feeling to have, that you might defend about and say, oh, don't be so unreasonable, kind of thing. So you know, we're human. We want to protect ourselves from being told that we create problems, sort of thing. But I think also we have to be honest that it is difficult. It's difficult for everyone to live with someone. You have to be a little bit, can you be a little bit open to criticism? And so this is also, you know, it takes two. So if you want to bring up criticism, or you want to say there's a problem, how you do it is also going to affect how it gets received. So, you know, going in really hard with, you know, blaming comments, you know, this is why people say start with I sentences, not you. So, you know, the kind of classic, you always do this, that is always going to bring a defensive reaction. But if it's a more vulnerable, I find it really hard that this is what is always happening, that you're trying to keep defenses to a minimum.
Okay,
So,
so there, you've got five, the book's called Five Arguments All Couples Need to Have and Why the Washing Up Matters. That was really communication, what you're talking about there. That was number one.
that was definitely number one. And
Yeah.
that one comes in pretty much every time.
And then workload, you talked about. What about dealing with each other's families?
Okay, so the classic, the sort of universal is the like difficulties with the in-laws, I think, and having to come to terms with your partner's family and perhaps what their ideas about your relationship. Or but I think it speaks to something really fundamental, which is, even if you kind of grew up in the same place, and you each family has its own different culture and its own different ways of doing things and its own ideas. And again, in the intimacy and the proximity of a relationship, you find that you're very different, even when you didn't think you were. And I think I really wanted to write this chapter because I really wanted people to think this is normal, okay? This is what happens. The way, the real like attitudes to mess, these are, from the culture of our family, and they're quite ingrained. It's not your partner necessarily doing something to be difficult. It's that this is what they think is normal for them. And then there is the kind of negotiating boundaries with each other's families, which I think needs a bit of working out over time. It doesn't happen overnight. So, when a couple get together, or when a grandchild comes in, and it can mean that these boundaries and these relationships with family need revisiting. And what my key advice on this is that couples have to work together in relation to each other's families, and they can't say, no, you just got to deal with my family, or kind of get over it. This isn't changing. Again, it's got to be a collaboration, and both people are probably going to have to shift their ideas of what's going to work here, because they're not a daughter or a son anymore. They are also in a relationship, or sister or brother. Everything needs to be reconstellated, I think, a bit.
I understand. And this one, sex and bodies, don't see having to talk about your sex life as a failure.
No, I mean, this is the one that is hardest to argue about, I think, because I think it's such a sensitive area, and people think, oh, perhaps if we have to talk about our sex life, that means there's something wrong, that it should just happen magically and perfectly like it does on the telly. And actually, and again, that will be like in families, how much is it possible to talk about your body or sex life? There'll be different ideas of that, but intimate conversations are really important, so that people know where they stand, know what they're feeling. A common thing that comes up is someone's like, "Well, I don't want to like cuddle you because I think that means you're going to think that I want to like go further, but I'm not in the mood, so I don't bother." Okay, that comes up a lot, but actually, that is one that needs a conversation that could clarify things, and there could be, and look, this is all in the context of more conversations about sex, consent, but just being able to speak a bit more can clarify things, because people build their own narratives and their own ideas of what's going on if they don't.
Oh, that's such a big issue. So, a wonderful thing for all couples to read if they're sort of shying away from arguments, because there are five arguments all couples need to have and why the washing up matters. Thank you so much, Joanna, for opening that conversation with us. And your book's out
Thank
now.
you for
And
having
I think there's going to be a lot of interest in it. So, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Joanna Harrison there. And yes, her book's available everywhere.